standing, if you would, and let's go back to Mark chapter number 10 for just a moment this morning. Mark chapter number 10. We'll read our verses and get right into the scripture this morning. Mark chapter number 10. We'll pick up our reading again in verse number 35. Mark 10, 35. Bible said, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We can. Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And I'll preach an entire message on verse 45 next Sunday morning. You'll want to be here to hear that. It is the chief verse, I believe, of all of Mark's writing. "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And thank God he did this, and to give his life a ransom for many." He did that. And we're living testimonies of that this morning. You can be seated, Heavenly Father, one more time in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. I humbly bow to ask you, Lord, to help us now. Lord, we have tried to seek your face and tried to be sensitive this morning. Lord, in everything that this service has already had take place, I pray, Lord, we've not done anything that has grieved you, but Lord, everything that has pleased you. Now, Lord, as we gather our thoughts and our hearts and our attention around the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, this morning with the truths that are at hand. Help us this morning to understand, Lord, these things. May, Lord, the challenge and the call to live in true Christianity ring in the heart and life of everyone that is saved by the grace of God in this place today. I pray this morning, especially for those that may be among us this morning that are not saved, have never been born again and made a part of the family of God. Lord, would you deal with their heart this morning? Would you trouble them about their sin? May the light of the gospel shine to them and light the way to a holy God that is willing that no man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, if you do that and help the church and help the people of God, we sure would leave here this morning just saying, what a God, what a faithful Savior that we have. Lord, help me now, Lord, as I preach. Lord, you know I can't do this without you. Our voice and our mind and our flesh and our body is just way too weak. Take us beyond ourselves. And Lord, use us for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. We began this message on last weekend, and we're dealing with the subject of the path to spiritual promotion. The disciples had already had disputes among themselves about their own greatness and who was to be accounted or acknowledged in their life and in the kingdom to come, who was among them going to be the greatest. But really, in light of the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the greatest of the great. And so it doesn't matter. We would all, if we was in some sort of competition, by the way, we're not. But if we were, we're all playing for second place. And I was raised in a generation where if you're second place, that just means you're first place, a loser. And so there's only one that is the greatest, and that is Jesus Christ. But they would argue about this among themselves. Going back to the previous chapter of Mark, he recorded that along with Jesus' rebuke of that kind of mentality. And now again, in the verses that we've read, we find that this fussing over this matter, it comes up again many weeks and maybe likely months later. They come back to this as they seek prominence and preeminence at the left and the right hand of Christ in Christ's kingdom. We read about that in verse number 37. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. And so this is John and James. Their request is tied to that ancient time when rulers would elevate the highest ranking officials and or family members and closest friends that they would have to the greatest places of honor at either side of the ruling man. And so they desire that preeminence. They desire to be a part of the entourage of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be seen everywhere he would be seen. And what a desire, and what a matter that is at hand that they are asking the Lord to grant them. John and James attempted to gain here this advancement through self-promotion. And we dealt with that last week, that their self-promotion really is a disgusting thing. We do not advance in the kingdom of God and in the ministry through self-promotion. This is not the way that we will be successful in the work of God. Self-promotion in this text, it produced manipulation, a spirit of manipulation. They are really trying to manipulate the Lord Jesus Christ into getting what they want. And they did that. We ran through it last week, but they produced manipulation or attempted it by way of a private conversation, by seeking a guarantee before they gave their request. According to Matthew's record, they used even their own mother, who was the aunt, the earthly aunt to the Lord Jesus Christ. They did manipulation or attempted it through giving an expression of worship that really was just designed to get something from the Savior. And they did it by laying claim to their own family ties again. Their mother is the aunt of the Lord Jesus, making them earthly first cousins to the Lord Jesus. And so they're using their family ties as a way to manipulate things in this spiritual realm of the kingdom of God. Manipulation is a disgusting thing. To try to manipulate and work certain situations for our own advancement. In the work world, that is something that is terrible. But when it comes to spiritual realm, I don't know if there's anything maybe more devilish than maybe the next point we'll make, but than that of manipulation. And so self-promotion, it produces a spirit of manipulation. Verse 39, a spirit of arrogance. As the Lord questions them on their request, that would involve drinking a cup and being immersed and baptized into the same suffering that the Lord Jesus was going to be brought into. Emphatically, without even thinking about it, they declare their own endurance by saying, absolutely, we can. No mention of the grace or the help of God. No mention of, well, Lord, if you'll walk with us and hold our hand, we believe we can do this. Just simply self-confidence produced an arrogance that was the result of self-promotion. in the kingdom of God. And so we must remind ourselves of that. That we're not supposed to say, I'm going to do this or I can handle this. But James said, rather, amen, let us say, if God will and if God will help us, and lean in upon and declare the grace of God to be the source of our ability to be able, my friend, to live for God. Paul said, I can do all things, not in myself. He didn't say, I can do all things because I've learned how to do it. He didn't say, I can do all things because I've been through enough now that it's been displayed, I can handle everything. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And there is no arrogance, no room for a spirit of arrogance within the hearts and the lives of God's children. When you enter the realm of self-promotion and stepping on others to pull yourself up, it always has attached with it an aura and an aroma of pride and haughtiness, which always goes before our own destruction. And so self-promotion produces manipulation and arrogance. But self-promotion produces a spirit of rivalry. We learn, as we read the text a moment ago, the request of the brothers not only shows the exalted and exaggerated value they placed on themselves, but the depreciated estimation they had for the other ten. For them to come and ask the Lord that, and they could sit on the right and on the left, it means that they think they're greater than the others and that the others are less than they. And so the spirit of rivalry begins to creep up. And it's not just in James and John, because the Bible said, we'll look at it in a moment, that the other ten, they had the same feelings that James and John did, as they are angry at the two, not just because they asked, but because they asked before they themselves had a chance to ask for themselves. And so there's a rivalry that is going on among these that are living in self-promotion. And so the answer to self-promotion is self-denial. Self-denial. There's nothing wrong with desiring to be a good or even a great child of God, a great Christian. I believe we ought to have desires in our heart that I want to be the greatest child of God I can be. I want to be the greatest preacher that I can be. Others maybe would say, I want to be the best Sunday school teacher that I can be. I want to strive to be effective in the kingdom of God. And there's nothing wrong with those sorts of desires and ambitions that we can do great things for Jesus' name's sake. However, those things can only be achieved through self-denial. We must get self out of the way. There's no room, Brother Jack, for self-promotion, self-advancement. There's no room for manipulation and pride and arrogance and rivalry and disunity. We must lay ourselves aside and say, God, if you'll let me serve you and let me be in your kingdom and live for you, whatever promotions I get, they will come from the hand of God as God puts his hand on my life and enables me to live for God. There is no integrity or spirituality in hoping yourself to be the worst in the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't have a desire to be on the back row in the kingdom of God. Amen. I want the Lord to use me. Can y'all hear me? Amen. I can't hear myself at all, Sam, if you can help me there, bud. Listen, this matter of seeking and desiring to advance, that's good. There's no integrity this morning and saying, well, I just hope to barely make it. I'd just be fine if I'm on the back row. It'd be fine if I'm just, amen, got a little cabin on the hill somewhere. That there's no integrity. That, and by the way, that's false humility this morning, and there's no integrity in that. And so when Jesus comes through this text with these men, he is giving them the path, the true path, to spiritual promotion. If you want to advance, if you want to be more than you are, if you want to be something, my friend, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't come through self-promotion. But Jesus unfolds the pathway and the stepping stones that will lead to you and I having spiritual promotion in our life. Now, none of these are things that, Brother Larry, make us want to shout and jump pews and burn Chevrolets in the parking lot. Amen. We don't pitch babies when we deal with these subjects this morning. You see, to advance spiritually in the family of God and in the work of the ministry, these are not things that are attractive to our flesh. These are not things that Christ deals with, things that are not, they're not amusing, they're not favorable things as we live in the world in which we're in. But these are of necessity if we're going to have a spiritual promotion in God's kingdom. Yes, amen. Amen. Number one, we dealt with last week. It's the only one we got to. But verse 38 through 40 deals with suffering. Yes, right. He deals with suffering. Suffering is something we all try to avoid. They come to Christ about wearing a crown, but he speaks to them about drinking a cup. You said, let me ask you something. You've asked me something. Let me ask you something. You don't know what you're asking, because this crown you desire to wear, it comes first with a cup that you must drink. And the cup you've got to drink is a shared cup and a shared baptism into suffering. And so this morning we think about this reference to the soon sufferings of Jesus that would be had at Calvary, and him calling upon them that if you want spiritual promotion and advancement and success in my kingdom, then there is attached to that a certain measure of suffering. And so we preached on these sufferings and what Christ is teaching here, the identification with Christ in suffering, verse 38. Then when we suffer, and as we suffer, we actually enter into a unity and an identification with Christ in his own. Our own physical affliction, our own mental anguish, and our own spiritual agony are but our way as God's children being able to enter into identification with Christ. And so if you want to wear a crown, if you want to advance, then my friend, that you will have to be identified with Christ in suffering. Spiritual promotion comes by being willing to be betrayed, bamboozled, blasted, backstabbed, banished, bruised, beaten, battered, bound, bereaved, and bled out. Our Savior suffered before his own exaltation, and we are identified with him in both, that before we can be promoted and exalted and make advancement spiritually, mark it down, it will come with some kind of suffering. Amen. The certainty from Christ about suffering, verse 39, ye shall indeed. He is giving a guarantee. And if you are God's children, doing your best to live for God and serve God, that it's going to come to us no matter, no matter what, no matter that we're saved, no matter how great we think we are or appear to be to others, that through much tribulation, Paul said, we enter into the kingdom of God. That suffering is a certainty, it's a guarantee. You're going to feel bereavement, you're going to feel broken at times. How you're going to feel like you're being crucified by people sometimes. You are going to suffer a myriad of ways in your physical body. Through failed health, you're going to suffer in your mind. You're going to face days and seasons of spiritual agony. Everything's not always going to be blue skies and rainbows. And suffering, the suffering we face in life and how we drink and how we deal with that suffering has a lot to do with the spiritual promotions God grants to our life. The preparation by Christ through suffering, verse 40, he said, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Are you being prepared for advancement? Your suffering, the ailments of your body are just God's way of preparing you to be able to be great in his kingdom. None of us like suffering. I won't re-preach all this again, but it was Job who was a great man that God broke down and allowed the hand of suffering to touch his life. He lost everything he had. You talk about a man with physical, who had physical affliction, a man who had mental anguish. You read the book of Job and the way Job's mind was tormented through the things that he was going through, and then the spiritual agony that where his faith was being shook, his groundedness spiritually was rocked in that season of his life, and yet it was through that suffering that God was able to promote him and advance him. And as great as he was before the suffering, he came out on the other side. And Job would word it this way, that when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. It is through the fire, it's through the suffering, it's through the hardships, and God is preparing me for the promotion that he has. Amen. I know TBN doesn't preach all of that. They say if you're right with God, you'll never suffer. If you sow into their ministry, you'll never suffer. If you'll write them a letter and send them a love gift, they'll send you a cloth back that will shield you from all tribulation. But my friend, nothing could be further from the truth. We are called upon to suffer in this life. You're going to suffer no matter what. Man that is born of a woman's a few days and full of sorrow, full of trouble, and it's going to come. How we deal with that and how we allow Christ to prepare us in that suffering has a lot to do with our spiritual promotion. Amen. How you doing with your suffering today? How are you doing with loss? How are you doing with heartbreak? I'm not belittling anything. I've told y'all I can have a bigger pity party probably than anybody in the room today. I don't like to suffer. I don't like carrying burdens. I don't like being beat upon. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. It's through that suffering the Lord takes you. When that suffering season of suffering comes to an end, Christ, by way of the cross, will walk the path to being exalted and given a name which is above every name. And I say this morning, the path to spiritual promotion, it is through suffering. Number two, quickly, it's through a matter of what we'll call seeking this morning. The Bible said in verse 41, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. They're displeased with James and John because in their heart, what governs them and what drives them and what they're seeking is the same thing that James and John has already expressed. And so you have 12 men that are seeking personal advancement. They're seeking personal advancement. The 10 are mad at the two. Because they too were seeking personal advancement rather than the advancement of the kingdom of God. And so we've got to get this right. That the path to spiritual promotion, it is not through personal advancement. No, nothing can be further from the truth. Christ
He hears what James and John has asked. He dealt with them on a personal level. All of a sudden, he perceives the other 10 are mad about this thing as well. And so he brings them, and he's going to draw a line of distinction between those that are in his kingdom and those that are of an earthly kingdom. Notice what he said in verse 42. He said, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Jesus would go on to say, but it shall not be so with you. He said, this is not how it works in my kingdom. In the earthly realm, everyone seeks their own personal advancements. We see it even in our own republic, in America, in the political system that we have, that there are ways that young men and even young ladies are looked at in their youth and different potentials that they have, and connections are made to the political machines and systems that are, and they groom those people and prepare those people throughout the course of their life, hoping that one day they will be the one in charge. They'll be the one with the gavel. They'll be the one with the pen in the Oval Office. They will be the one that is somehow in charge, exercising authority and power over the whole. All they do in every decision they make, even down, and I'm not going to get political this morning, but all the way down to the very people they marry, is all designed for their own personal advancement. Amen. I could tell you stories today about our own political system and politicians that is so corrupt and so vile with just seeking a hunger and a thirst for power. Amen. Amen. This is how it is in the Gentile world. Personal advancement is what is sought. But those that are of the kingdom of God, we do not seek personal advancement, but we seek the advancement of the kingdom of God. Here is what Jesus said, but so shall it not be among you. And so shall it not be among you. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6. Let me read you a couple of cross references this morning. I got to get the last point and I'm done. Matthew chapter number 6 and in verse number 33. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What are we to seek first? Not personal advancement, not our own authority, not our own ability to lord over a certain realm of the kingdom of God that we would be looked to, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, if you will live your life seeking the kingdom of God being promoted and seeking the righteousness of God in that kingdom being saved and exalted and promoted and live your life to be a reflection of that righteousness, amen, then you will find the true path to having the advancement and promotion you desire. It's only through seeking God's kingdom first, not your own. Amen. We're not called, we weren't saved to build our own kingdom. Amen. Amen. In Colossians chapter number 3, these are familiar verses. Verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And we're talking about kingdom now. Amen. Jesus sits as Lord at the right hand of God. That's his exalted position. He's given him a name. He's given him a place. He's given him lordship and power and authority. And we as citizens of his kingdom, we are to seek those things which are above. Set your affection, your love, your desire, your attention, the goal of your life, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so the idea is simply this, that this matter of seeking, what are you seeking today? James and John, they missed it. They were seeking personal advancement, not the promotion of the kingdom, not the promotion of the Christ of the kingdom, not the righteousness that is in the kingdom. They're just interested in them, amen, in them being in the pictures on the front page when the... Amen. When the National Enquirer comes by and snaps pictures of Jesus, they want to make sure they're in the picture with them. And I tell you this morning that if you're going to advance and I'm going to advance, if we're going to be used, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to have spiritual promotion, it is not the result of personal promotion, but of Christ, His kingdom, and His righteousness. We've got to learn that that's what we seek first and foremost above everything. I know men who claim to have a call of God upon their life, that they're seeking a pulpit, not the kingdom of God. They seek to wield some sort of influence. I want to be a good influence on God's people. The only way you can be a good influence on God's people is just live the way you're supposed to in the kingdom of God. Amen. You don't do it by wearing amen, t-shirts that make you appear that you're something you're really not. Amen. You don't do it by wearing bracelets, and you don't do it by, I know we got to be careful. I'm not trying to criticize the way other people do that, but do it the way you want to. But I seen a guy the other day, he just bought a brand new white work van. Y'all may have seen it, and all over the side he's took in a Sharpie marker and wrote Bible verses and Christian symbols and emblems all over it. And that's not the way you advance. All that stuff is designed to do is say, look at me. They're not seeking first the kingdom of God and Christ and His righteousness. What are you seeking after today? Amen. Do you want people to see Christ? Do you want people to know Christ through your life? Do you want, my friend, your life to be used in a way that others would know something of the kingdom? Or is it as many of preachers, they want their name on a church site? They want the recognition, they want the accolades, they want the social media views. And so they do all these different tactics and all these different promotions that are nothing more than the look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, pay me attention. But at the end of the day, the only thing that really truly matters is, am I seeking the kingdom of God and Christ first? Amen. What are you seeking today? Are you seeking things that are above? Are you seeking some sort of prestigious position? Amen. Seeking, what are you seeking today? And however you answer that will determine whether or not you're on the path to spiritual promotion. Let me deal with quickly, and I'm done this morning. Last of all, the path to spiritual promotion, it is through suffering and seeking. But this is probably my favorite point of all. It is through serving. It's through serving. Jesus here brings the disciples back to the true occupation of being a Christian, no matter the title, position, or advancement that we may attain. And that true occupation of every Christian is, y'all ready for this? Servanthood. They're saying, we want to sit at the right and the left hand of Christ. We want the big positions. Jesus said, you are not fit for that position, that title, and that kind of promotion if you're not first willing to be a servant. And in this hour and day, I'm afraid we as Christians have forgot what it truly is to be a child of God, to be a true Christian. Amen. We're so self-centered and self-promoting and self-advancing that it's my four and no more. It's just about me and my little clique and my little friends and my little family. When in fact Jesus said, if you want to be great, if you want to attain, if you want promotion,
You fellas are going to have to learn what it is to be a servant. Amen. Amen. Serving is a matter of will. Look with me in verse 43. I wish I could preach this a little better today. I'm doing the best I can. Verse 43, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will, I love those words. But whosoever will, we believe this morning that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to a man being saved and born again, that there is a matter of whosoever will. In the closing chapter of Revelation, Brother Larry, the Bible speaks that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. That there is in the last chapter of the Word of God an invitation. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And then John said, and whosoever will, let him come that he may drink of the water, living waters, and that his thirst would be no more. The fact is, salvation is for whosoever will. There's a certain doctrine that has gone around for many, many years now that, and I won't even name it, we'll just deal with what it is, that says that those that are going to get saved, God shows them the salvation and they're going to get saved no matter what. Then there's others that God didn't choose to save and that they're never going to be saved. It doesn't matter if you preach to them or not. They're never going to get saved because it's God's will that they're not saved and God's will that these are. Amen. Do you know how big a heresy that is? God's not willing that any should perish. If you're going to deal with God's will, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would have all men to be saved. God sent his son in the world to be the propitiation for our sins and not, John said, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. God is interested in the world being saved. That's why he sent his disciples and has his church in this world. And we would go into all the world and preach the gospel, giving every man, every woman, every boy and girl the age of understanding and opportunity to hear the gospel and to be saved. If you have been saved, and if you've not been saved and are going to get saved, getting saved has to do with your will, whosoever will. Amen. You don't get saved when you want to, but you don't get saved without wanting to. God ain't ever made any man get saved. Amen. Now, he'll make you miserable enough that's the only thing you'll realize, that's the only thing that'll fix you. Amen. The phrase, whosoever will, is a big phrase in the Word of God. Let me tell you something this morning. Salvation's not just whosoever will. Being a servant is whosoever will. If you're going to be a servant and be known as one who is serving in the kingdom of God, it is a matter of your will. Servant is what he says here. Notice he said in verse number 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Servant, this here is a title. It's a word, but it's a title. And it means one who is in permanent relation of servitude to another whose will is altogether consumed in the will of another. And so being a servant is me submitting my will to the will of my Savior and saying, Lord, whatever you will is what I will. I just want to be a part of the kingdom of God. The reason we have people who have the mentalities, the big I's and the little U's, is because they do not have the will to be a servant in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's a matter of will. Amen. Show me somebody who's not interested in serving. I'll show you somebody who has a lacking in their own will. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I'd serve the Lord if so-and-so wasn't in the picture. Then it'll always be some other so-and-so. I would serve the Lord if it wasn't for such-and-such. Well, there's always going to be a such-and-such. Serving is a matter of the will. A servant does not dictate the terms.
that he is going to exercise his servanthood. Are you listening? A servant said it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how difficult it may be or what the status of the other servants is. The fact of the matter is serving is always a matter of the will. Amen. Well, I would if, well, then you won't. I could, but, well, then you won't. Serving is a matter of will. Serving is a matter of work. And this is why so many don't want to do it in our day. Amen. I believe in work. I believe ought to be, if you're a child of God, you ought to be a working man and woman. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. We live in a day of deadbeats. We live in a day where men can't hold down jobs. We live in a day where they hop here and hop there and, amen, get run off. I told y'all about the man not long ago that sent me a message and was rebuking, I guess, I'm real sure, to be honest, what he was driving at. But Brother Bob was seeming, in my mind, rebuking me and our church for not hiring people in the community. Amen. Everybody look up here. We ain't some hiring service. We're not the hiring service. There's plenty of jobs out here in this community. If you got a will to work, they go find you a God-blessed job. Amen. Amen. Same man, I sent him a list of hundreds of jobs. Hundreds of jobs. Gave him the link. And you say, how do you know? Because I looked through it all. Everything from fast food to factory work to construction work. The special talents and abilities and secretarial work and work in banks. I'm talking about all kinds of jobs in our own county. Yes, sir. Amen. Come find out he didn't want none of them jobs. Right. Amen. And you know what I thought? Well, there's a man who don't want to work. Right. I'm telling you, that's a plague on this generation. Yes, sir. Our government ain't helped that at all. I'm meddling now, ain't I? I ain't doing a good job preaching, so let me just meddle. Remark, our government's made it so where they have conditioned an entire generation to not want to work and have to get up every day of their life and go make an honest day's living working on a job day in and day out. Amen. Amen. That same man that emailed in, I guess he was mad because the church pays me to be your pastor. Amen. Y'all don't pay me to be your pastor. You give me a worthy reward, the Bible would call it, for praying and studying the Word and feeding you spiritually. Amen. And, amen, there's a lot of time and effort and work goes into that. I do a lot of work on the side. Amen. Amen. These men in here, you may work as hard as I do. There ain't a man in here works harder than I do. I promise you that. I'll kill myself trying to work as hard. If you outwork me, I'll kill myself trying to keep up with you. Amen. Last few weeks, I told Brother Jack the other day, the last several weeks, 60 to 90 hour weeks working. That's why I don't understand this generation, Gerald, that can't work. Amen. You come up and ask me for money. I know these poor people need help. These people in bad situations that need some advancement and need some help, but bless God, you come up and ask me for money, and I've had a 90-hour work week, and I can't even close my fist this morning because I'm so swole up from working. Yes. Amen. I'll be honest, I don't want to give you nothing. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. Somebody put that on the socials. And this crowd in our day, they don't know much about work, but you know what? If you are a servant-minded individual, you understand serving involves work. When it comes to the realm of the church and the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God, we're called upon to be ministers. So, ministers, that's what you are. And I hope that's what I am, but that's not just reserved for an office or a titled position in the work of God. Be a minister. Here's what Jesus said, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. The word minister means an attendant or waiter on others. It comes from the idea of laboring, literally giving yourself to grueling labor or running in the dust. The brothers come to Jesus and say, we want them high seats. We want those high seats. We want them exalted seats and thrones and crowns and accolades and recognition. Jesus said, y'all need to learn how to work down there in the dirt. That is something that seems to be missing. Either people have no ambition to be anything more than they are, or they just don't serve, period, and they're fine not serving, and they're fine with no promotion, they're fine with no growth. Or the opposite is they want all the accolades and recognition and pats on the back and positions and titles without knowing what it is to get down in the dirt and work. Serving's a matter of work. Serving's a matter of will. Serving is a matter of watching. Notice what Jesus said, for even. And I'll deal with this verse. I'll preach it better than I'm preaching this morning. By the way, I am preaching a little better than y'all are looking and than it sounds. I'll tell you something this morning. Serving is a matter of watching. Jesus said, y'all really think you are worthy enough and great enough to have those kind of promotions? Even the Son of Man, speaking of himself, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The greatest example we have of what it is to be a servant, the path that Jesus walked in serving all and serving others and serving the ones that nobody wanted around and nobody else wanted to touch and nobody wanted any involvement in. Those that were somehow lesser in society than and the way they esteemed themselves to be, yet Jesus ministered to everyone. He had time for children who maybe was a nuisance to everybody else. He had time for the lepers that everybody else feared and treated as outcasts. He had time to serve anybody that had a need that he was aware of that was brought to him. He would sacrifice his own time. He would sacrifice his own comfort. He would sacrifice in every way that a servant can sacrifice and came not to be ministered unto, that his life was lived ministering to everybody else around him. When Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, what he is telling them, Brother Jack Bryson, what he's telling them is, you need to watch how I've been doing it. I am the example of what it is to be a serving child of God. Amen. Jesus would gather his disciples in the upper room, John 13. There, when supper was ended, the Bible said, Brother Riley, he girded himself with a towel, the towel of a servant. Girded himself with a towel, poured water in a basin, and one by one, through those 12 men, Jesus got down in the dirt and he washed their feet. Not instituting an ordinance, but instituting a principle into those men that you are to be serving people. And he said, the servant is not greater than his master. If I, being your Lord, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. In other words, if I, as your Lord, can put on the servant's towel, then you ought to follow my example and serve one another every opportunity you can. Do you do that?
Do you do that? That there's been people throughout my time being saved in the ministry. And I understand, I really am. I'm very, very, I'm one of the most easy to get along with people in the world. Things happen sometimes. And I understand that. But there have been people that have said, hey, if you need anything, call me. And I file that stuff away, okay. Because if you tell me that, I believe you mean it. But if every time I call you, you say, I can't. I got this going on and that going on. And then sooner or later, I ain't going to call no more. Amen. And I know things happen. There's been times I've told people the same thing and really gotten a bind and you couldn't. But that ought to be the exception, not the rule. Is that right? There are men in this church I know I could call and say, hey, I need this. They drop everything and they come running. You know why? They got a servant heart. There are women in our church, and I love this, that if we needed something, I could pick the phone up and say, hey, need you to get here, get there, do this, do that. And they would drop everything and come running. You know why? Because they have the heart of a servant. They've gotten that book and they've got their eyes on Jesus and they know what being a servant is really, truly all about. You know what God does with servants? He takes those servants and he promotes them. Amen. If we'll be faithful in little things, he'll make us ruler over many things. It's what the book said. Those are servants who are given talents. Those are servants that are entrusted with safekeeping, with the master's things. If we'll be faithful in little things just to serve. Are you a servant? So, I'll serve my family. That's a good place to start. I hate to admit this. I'm done preaching. I'm just going to talk to y'all a minute. Can I give you my heart? I remember being young. And when I was young, it was I'm the husband and I'm the daddy. Now, I believe a husband and daddy ought to run the home. I'm married 25 years, right? 6 years, coming up on 6 years. Been married 25 years. I still believe husband is the head of the house. I believe that, still believe it, as strong as I believe it. But here's what the Lord has done for me through the years. With every position of authority, there is a greater responsibility to serve. I believe this with all my heart, and there's people shooting at us over this right now. And I have people that have left this church, and they get their little jabs in when I run into them. Amen. They call me boss. Hey, boss. And I know what they mean. They didn't get their way when they was here, and so now I'm boss to them, and that's fine. I tell you what I believe. I believe the man God puts in that pulpit, he has the authority from God and the Word of God to be over the church. Believe that with all my heart. Believe that with all my heart. And I've learned with that authority, it's not so much about wielding that authority as making sure other people don't step in and try to take what God's will is for the church. Amen. But I tell you what I've learned in over 20 years of pastoring now, with all that authority a man has, comes a greater responsibility to serve those that he's over. Here's a term I wish we could get in our vocabulary around here. Not that the practice is not there, but just the terms. Brother Jack, servant leadership. Servant leadership. It's about serving. It's about serving all. Jesus said that if you want to be chiefest in my kingdom, you've got to learn how to be the servant of all, which is the example Jesus set for us. You got to be willing to serve the person you don't jive with. Amen. I don't know why. I don't know why. For 20 years of pastoring, they ain't been very many of those years that there hadn't been some trying person. Weird person that I've had to good people, but just weird. They just drive you crazy. Amen. You say, is he talking about me? I ain't talking about nobody in here. Amen. Just sometimes there's people come in and, Gerald, I'm talking about they just drive me up a wall. Amen. Oh, there's been some time, and I do pretty good most days. There's days I'll tell Miss Kate, you got to deal with that one today because I'm on edge, and if you don't deal with that one, and she's so gracious and so easygoing, she can deal with whatever. She just smiles and pets them on their head, and I want to smack them in the jaws. But you know what I've learned? You got to serve them people. You got to serve them. Serving's not just serving your closest friends. That's easy. It's easy. I mean, Brother Riley's getting closer and closer the older he gets, and he's serving around here and jumping in. And I'm telling you, God has just knit my heart to his. It's easy. If Riley calls me and says, hey, I really, my family, we need this. Buddy, I'm telling you, we're gone. We're getting it. Let's do it. Let's get it done. It's easy to serve somebody close to you. What about that one that gets on your nerves? What about the one Jesus served Judas in that upper room and washed his feet knowing he's getting ready to betray me? Can you do that? I can't do that. Well, then you're not going to know spiritual promotion. Because the path to spiritual promotion says, I can lay myself down in the dirt to serve anyone. Amen. The path to spiritual promotion. Well, amen. Maybe I should have finished that last week. It's kind of stumbled through it this morning.